This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Can they do new psychological testing? Can that be ordered? Can that be requested before the trial takes place to get a better grasp on mentally, at least, where he is today?
Oh, I'm sure they've had so much testing done. You know, we've seen the documents that have been ordered sealed, right? But yet the judge allowed us to see that they're ordering all this mental analysis sealed. In other words, we used to just see things that were sealed and have no idea what it is.
Sure. Right?
Now we know it's his mental analysis and that of his family, too, which I found quite interesting. You know, are they trying to make some sort of genetic link in that way?
Yeah.
You know, Tony, at the end of the day, they're going to look, I think, if he's found guilty, they are going to remember, and I believe the judge will let these photos in. They're going to see the crime scene photos.
Yeah.
They're going to see what this person did to these four young kids. And I call them kids because they were, you know, very young adults. Certainly not financially free yet. So young adults. And I think that that is going to override the word autism.
Yeah.
That's not going to be considered. It's going to be his actions that will be considered, not one of the many monikers of mental health issues that they try to put on him.
I'd agree. And I hope that is how that is handled there. What's your take now that we have, we've actually seen the text string, or at least a good chunk of the text string, with the surviving roommates, and we've now seen the text of the 911 call that has been released. What's been your take on all that?
You know, it's so important for showing the timeline. That's a pretty solid, tight timeline now.
Yeah.
With all the messages that were done. And now we know exactly, you know, when 911 was called. We know exactly when the text messages took place, when Dylan Mortensen tried to reach out to Kaylee and Maddie and Zanna and tried to get them to respond. We know when she reached out to her father now. So we have this beautiful timeline that cannot be argued. So I think that's really important. The jury needs to see that. Secondarily, it proves what was said in the PCA all along.
Yeah.
That Dylan Mortensen wasn't so trashed from drinking that she couldn't identify details. She said, this is the mask, you know, covered his mouth. It covered his whole head like a ski mask. And even when Bethany tries to say, well, remember, Zanna wore black tonight. She said, no, this is different. I'm so scared. I'm so freaked out. So it really is in line with everything we've heard, that she was scared. She was frightened. What people are angry about is her actions she took.
Yeah.
She didn't call 911, that she didn't, you know, go and check on them. But who could ever imagine that your four roommates were massacred? You could imagine a guy came in to steal some stuff.
Yeah.
But I think she was just scared and said, I'm just going to hunker down here and talk with Bethany until my phone dies. And then when it gets light out and I feel, you know, I can, I'm going to go down and see her.
I think people need to take a step back on that one and go, and stop saying, well, this is what I would do. Well, that's great. That's what you would do. Are you a 19-year-old in the year 2022? And in this sort of situation and what the way that your social structure has been brought up is probably not the same of a 40-year-old. No, it's very, very different. And not maybe the most effective way of thinking or the best choice that she made not to call 911, but they communicate amongst themselves before they call the police, which is not that uncommon. Plus, if you're not truly thinking that your roommates are murdered at that moment in time, which I don't think they thought, you know, well, maybe they're just drunk and passed out and there's a weird guy that came in the house. We just saw him leave. Okay, you know, it's done. Let's go back to bed. They're not thinking that the people are dead. Plus, you're a party house. The last thing you want is the police wandering through your party house, finding whatever somebody may have in their own room that may be illegal, or somewhere in the house, or anything of that nature. You're not openly inviting police in for any real reason. And not knowing that there's a murder scene yet, yeah, I get it why you wouldn't be calling the police when you're in that mindset. Back in our days, if we were in that situation, the only option we had was 911. We didn't have text to friends. We didn't have a cell phone to call our buddies and go, hey, I'm really scared right now, and kind of get that fear mitigated and calmed down. These guys did. So it kind of makes sense to me, their line of thinking. Again, not the best choice, but it makes sense.
It does make sense. And the other thing is, we know that they had no inkling anything bad had happened, because even when they're seeing Xana lying on the ground, unconscious, they're still saying, oh, she went out last night, she got drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all throughout the 911. They're not saying she's bleeding out. And I tried to explain that, yes, the blood down the wall, that's all very real. The bloodbath that's in Maddie and Maddie's room with her and Kaylee, all that's real, because if you slice somebody's throat break open an artery, yes, it's a complete bloodbath, stabbing them in the chest, all of that. But we don't know exactly where Xana was cut. And when you take a knife that's that thin blade like that, and you go in and out and pierce the body, it closes, the skin closes. Mm-hmm. So if he didn't go for the neck or the artery and just stabbed her at various places, I've treated these and I've seen them. And yeah, it's amazing. People can even walk around with multiple stab wounds because they kind of seal up, and it's not until the internal bleeding starts that's inside the body.
Yeah.
That they can die. And I think that that's what we're going to hear about with Xana.
Yeah, I mean, there's four different people here. It's not all of them were killed exactly the same way. You can stab somebody and it looks like they're passed out sleeping because it didn't turn into a bloodbath. On some of the others, it certainly did. But maybe not on Xana. That's how it presented at that time of that phone call. Where do you think, or what else do you think we're going to hear coming out here now that Hippler's very much pushing for transparency? We have the 911 call. We have these text messages. There's a lot I'm curious about, including like the cell phone data of Koberger. What was he looking up? What was he texting? Those sort of things. What was on his Amazon shopping list. What do you think we're going to find? What do you think is going to come out here before the trial now?
Well, I think there could be more information related to his digital searches. We already know the Amazon, the defense is trying to get that out right away. Mm-hmm. They don't want to see searches, and they don't want to see what he purchased.
Which,
right?
Are because key items.
It's going to go back to that K-bar knife.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I believe.
Yeah.
But separate from that, I want to know all the digital information related to things like Google searches.
Yeah.
You know, how to best kill somebody, the quickest way, you know, things regarding his sexual anger. Was he Googling about incels? Was he, you know, what all was he how? That's what I want to see. And I think the defense, especially if there's some that creep into that mind, the mind of Koberger that gives us a glimpse, I think we're going to see more on that, that the defense is going to motion to keep out.
They'll certainly file their motions to keep it out, but I'm guessing there's some pretty damning things in there. I think if we see a K-bar knife on an Amazon list, I think it's game over. And especially if we see anything involving searching for murders or being involved in any sort of incel group or just expressing the frustration with women and some of the things that we've seen, not exactly that, but just very, interesting ways of thought patterns with him in the past, that's going to be very, very damning. So I get that's why they don't want it in there. Is that also why we are seeing such a strong argument this early in? I mean, granted, we're almost 3 years in, but this close to the trial, for arguing his life or death, with the autism argument. Not to focus on the autism argument, but to go, is this why we're putting this in here now and we're making a big focus on it? Because we're almost kind of assuming, look, all this other shit's going to come out and it's game over at that point.
Yeah, I think that you hit the nail on the head there, Tony. And the other thing is, and I know I've argued this isn't going to happen this year. We're looking at next year at the earliest. I'm quasi-retracting, only not the whole way because my experience is speaking against me. But what I didn't factor in is Judge Hippler.
Yeah.
Judge Hippler is running a tight ship, even tighter than I expected.
Yeah.
He's got tight, rigid timeframes. He only allows arguments for a short amount of time. He is not allowing the circus of, you know, expert after expert to make a point. He's really tactically, and when Ann Taylor just says nonsense, he just shuts her up.
Mm-hmm.
He interrupts her. And he says, yeah, but isn't probable cause DNA on the knife sheath below the dead murdered victim twice on Sundays? And, uh-huh. and he's made other many other comments that have been able to kind of thwart Ann Taylor from talking ad nauseum about the same thing over and over. So I think things are really proceeding on track. And I think Ann Taylor's worried she's not going to be able to derail the August date.
I think she is too. Her reactions when Hippler shuts her down have been kind of priceless. She's doing her job. She's a great attorney. Knocking her. I'm just like, you can just kind of see it on her. If you're reading the tea leaves, you can kind of see it on her face like, oh, well, that one's not going to work. You know? It's like, yeah, I tried.
Let's move on.
Let's go for another one. I'm going to argue. It's like being arguing in class at like a court classroom where you're studying law. It's like, ah, damn it. I really gave that a college try and it didn't work out. I kind of get that feeling from Ann Taylor, but my God, with all this, and all that's going to continue to come out, I think it's going to be a lot of, trying to control the narrative as best that she can on a ship that is very much taken on too much water in the watertight compartments and is going down. But we'll see. It's still many months away.
Many months, Tony.
The latest true crime stories, expert breakdowns, and shocking twists all in one place. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.